Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Tonight, we're going to be back in James chapter 3. I'm going to begin with verse 13 tonight, James chapter 3 and verse 13. We are looking at the book of James, and we are going over verse by verse, passage by passage, his word to the church in Jerusalem. Well, let me give a little better description than that. It isn't just the church in Jerusalem; it is the scattered church, or the dissipated church. The persecution had really taken a toll on the church in Jerusalem. They were scattered around the area. And James, being the pastor that he was, he loved his people. And he wanted to encourage them. But he also wanted to keep them on the straight and narrow as far as how their lives were going. Because what we don't see a lot of in Scripture, but it's there if we'll take the time to read it, James was concerned because he was getting reports that the church was starting to break apart. Judaism was starting to make its way into the lives of some of the people, and James did not have access to them. The church was busted up. He wasn't able to preach to them. He wasn't able to teach them what he needed and what they needed to hear from God's Word. So he wrote this epistle, and he sent it to them. And just as it helped them, it has something for you and I as well. Just as it spoke to their heart and their life and gave them encouragement in times of trouble and in times of struggle, it will do the very same thing in your life and in my life. So tonight, let's go to verse 13 out of chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. May God add blessings to the reading of His Word. If you would, join me in prayer as we go into God's message tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the privilege of opening Your Word. And I ask, Heavenly Father, that You would touch hearts and lives. The hearts and lives that are sitting before You tonight. Heavenly Father, the hearts and the lives that will hear this message by broadcast. Lord, I pray that You would take it and send it out around the corner and around the world, and that it would touch lives and bring people to a closer walk with You and bring those that are lost to a saving relationship with You. Now, I pray that You would take Your Word tonight, that You would hide it in our hearts, that it would speak to us, that it would lead us closer to You, that it would encourage us to be the church that You have saved us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, tonight, we need to look at wisdom. If there was one word that was going to really touch the life of all of us tonight out of this passage, it would be wisdom. Now, all of us like to think of ourselves as having some wisdom. Now, let's just be honest, we do. We all like to think of ourselves as having some wisdom. And that's good, because we should be able to look back across our Christian walk. It doesn't matter if it's been 1 year or 10 years or 20 years or whatever it's been. We should be able to look back across our Christian walk, and we should be able to see where we have matured. And from that maturing, there should have been wisdom. But let me ask you a question. What is wisdom? If someone asked you tonight to explain to them what wisdom was. How would you describe it? What words would you use to discuss and to lead people in a better understanding of what wisdom, what it is, what it means, how it works? Well, if we go to a dictionary and if we look up wisdom in a dictionary, wisdom is defined casually as the knowledge, the experience, and the struggles of life and how they are applied in our daily lives and in our daily walk. So everything that you have experienced in your walk with God, everything that you've experienced in life as a whole, the good, the bad, the ugly, if I can say it that way tonight, all of that builds into your wisdom, your walk with God, and your walk in the world. It builds up into your wisdom tonight. So with that, we come down to two faces of wisdom. And with these faces come two sources. You see, we've already learned from James that an unstable man, a two-faced man, is unstable in their ways. A double-minded man is unstable in his ways. You can't depend on them for anything. They're wishy-washy. The two-faced person or the double-minded person, they never really know where they stand with anything. They know where they should be standing, but they just never really plant themselves anywhere. Part of them moves around and they're in the world 1 minute, and then they're in godliness and holiness the next. And when I say worldliness, I'm not talking about cussing and swearing and carrying on like that and partying and anything and immoralities. I'm not talking about just those things. That's certainly worldliness. But that's not just what I'm talking about. Worldliness can be just simply compromising God's Word. So those two sources that we have to be aware of and that we have to come face to face with are the sources of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and directing our life with God and the world or the devil and his system. And that comes down to a question. A question that each one of us need to ask, and a question that each one of us need to really ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in. That question, are we discerning as to where our wisdom comes from? The wisdom that we use on a daily basis, do we know where it comes from? Or do we just kind of roll with the emotions? If I get out of bed in a bad mood on a bad day, then I'm liable to be saying anything. I'm liable to be doing anything. I'm liable to be thinking about anything. I'm liable to be behaving in any way. Does our emotions drive our wisdom? Or do we really have a conscience about our wisdom? Do we have a conscience about how God views us and sees us on a daily basis? I hope we do. I hope we have a conscience, and I hope we have a conviction that takes that consciousness and it deals with us and it leads us and it guides us and it directs us to be making good godly decisions. Because that's what we want to be encouraging tonight. You see, these two faces that we have and the two foundations that we have about our wisdom, we could make a message out of the worldly wisdom and barely touch on the godly wisdom. And yeah, I could do that, but I'll tell you what I'd really like to do and the direction that I'm really led tonight. I want us to really focus on the godly wisdom tonight. The worldliness is out there. We all live in it every day. The devil is riding our backs. The devil is influencing us. The devil is trying to tear us apart and tear us down. The devil is trying to separate us. We need a wisdom, not a wisdom that's harmful to us, but a wisdom that gives us some encouragement. The church needs encouragement tonight. You and I, as the saints of God, need encouragement tonight. We need to be able to look at and focus on the godly wisdom that comes out of this passage, and we need to look at it and we need to allow it to lead us and guide us and direct us. Now, I'm going to speak just a little bit on the worldly wisdom just because it's there and we can't look over part of God's Word and ignore it and go on to the other. We need to address it because it's there. But worldly wisdom, first of all, has its roots in a very dark and in a very horrible place. And that is hell. Worldly wisdom may sound pretty impressive to some folks tonight. That may sound, my goodness, that may sound like something you would hear on a stock market report. Worldly wisdom on the career choices or things of that nature. But it is really a subtle deception in itself. You see, the roots and the darkness of a worldly wisdom leads to only one place, and that is damnation. If we choose to follow worldly wisdom in making our decisions, rest assured, it will lead us to hell. Because a child of God cannot follow worldly wisdom on a daily basis without any conviction, without any remorse, without any repentance. We just can't do it. If we can, if you can, if I can, if we can walk in this thing, if we can walk in worldly wisdom and it not bother us, we need to really look at our salvation. We need to really sit down and take a good, strong look at our salvation and make sure that we've got the goods. Make sure that we have really got it in our heart and in our life tonight. Because honestly, there's a good chance that you're not saved tonight if you can live in a worldly atmosphere and you can live and make decisions by worldly wisdom and it not bother you. Not only does it have for its roots a horrible place called hell, but it has for its motivation a selfish ambition. Worldly wisdom will always be about me. Me, mine, and I. Me, mine, and I. Me, mine, and I. And I realize those are pronouns and they're used very loosely. But one thing we need to realize tonight, whenever someone can only speak of themselves, when someone can only talk about what they have achieved, when someone can only talk about what they have become, when someone can only talk about themselves and only themselves, they have a selfish ambition that is centered in a worldly wisdom. They may not intend it that way. They may not consciously see it. Because honestly, they could be very immature as a believer in Christ and still follow a selfish ambition of a worldly wisdom. But that is where their motivation comes from, and it is a very destructive motivation. It will not only destroy them, but it will destroy those that are in their path as well. Because it will always lead the focus not to God, but the focus to themselves, to the individual. Whether it is an individual person, whether it is an individual congregation, whether it is a denomination, whomever it might be. If selfish ambition is all that they have, it never takes someone to Christ. And as the children of God tonight, that's who we are supposed to be focusing on. We are supposed to be focusing on Christ. Everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we have become in life because of Jesus Christ is strictly through Him, and He should have all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, everything wrapped up in that package. It should be all about Jesus. Now, I can preach that, and I can amen that, and I can talk about it all outside of the church house or inside the church house. And It really amazes me how many people say, I get so tired of hearing that Jesus stuff. I just get so tired of hearing Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I get so tired of it. If someone gets that tired of hearing the name of Jesus, who redeemed them? Who saved them? I can't speak enough about Jesus. I can't give Him enough glory. I can't give Him enough praise tonight. There aren't words to describe Him. There are not enough adjectives in the English language to put together my heart and the way I feel about Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. I really wish there were. You see, my heart breaks tonight because the church in many places and in many hearts tonight, the church no longer embraces Jesus. The church no longer wants to sing the hymns of Jesus. The church no longer wants to hear the name of Jesus. Because they have fallen into the trap of worldly wisdom. And where it leads tonight is to a disorder and to a destruction. It will destroy not only an individual's life, it will not only destroy their walk with God, it will not only destroy their testimony, but it will destroy entire congregations. It will destroy entire denominations. As a matter of fact, groups of people will wind up playing church instead of being the church. And that is a very small but very accurate look at worldly wisdom. But let's spend some time in godly wisdom. Let's spend some time focusing on what we ought to be. Instead of focusing on what we shouldn't be, let's take some time and focus on what we should be tonight. Well, godly wisdom has roots as well, but those roots are in the light of eternal life. They are in the glory and the majesty of God. His blessings and His goodness shining down from His heavenly throne. Being saved tonight has me imputed into God's family. I'm adopted into God's family. Ephesians chapter 1, somewhere around verse 4. If you'll go there and if you'll read and spend a little bit of time studying that, you'll understand the adoption. My, what a blessing it is to understand adoption. Especially as it was written in the day that the Bible was written and the way it was understood in those days. You see, when a child was adopted into a home, they became just as a birth child. There was no us and them. There was no, yes, this is my child and this is my adopted child. There was none of that. Oh, no. When that child was adopted and brought into the home and the name was taken, not only was that name taken, but the birthrights of that household was given, and everything that belonged to every birth child belonged to that adopted child. There was no differentiation between them, nothing different. That's why Paul used it in his picture of the Christian. You see, we may have been born separated from God. We may have been born under the darkness and the death of the devil and his deception. But through the new birth that comes through Jesus Christ comes the light of an eternal life. And through that light of an eternal life tonight comes the adoption into the Heavenly Father and into the heavenly home place tonight. We have the rights of sonship and the rights of children of God given to each and every one of us that know Jesus as Lord and Savior. That is godly wisdom. That is the foundation of godly wisdom. You see, everything that we are, everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that we think about, everything that our heart is focused on is heaven. It's heaven. It's Jesus Christ. It's God the Father. It's the Holy Spirit. This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. Those words are very, very true to the child of God. It isn't something that's just blurted out because it sounds good to go along with the piano or go along with the organ. It's true. It's true. Have you paid attention to your TV sets over the past few weeks? Hawaii is about to melt down and melt into the Pacific Ocean. There's a volcano that's active over there, and it's getting worse by the day. Paradise, they call Hawaii, especially this big island. Oh, it is beautiful. It is gorgeous. Weather and temperatures are beautiful and excellent. But now when you listen to the people who live there, they don't talk like it's a paradise. Many of them are living in shelters. Many of them will never be able to go back to their homes again. Their homes may not be in lava, but this lava spewed out and it's run down a mountainside and it has covered a road that goes into their housing communities, into their developments. They're cut off. And that lava can never be removed. It's permanent. You can't drill it and you can't blast it. You can't do anything with it. It's there. The houses and the homes that are separated on the other side may never be accessible again. Bless God, we don't have to worry about that in our eternal home in heaven tonight. We don't have to worry about being cut off from that eternal home. And I'm not making light of those poor people over there. Don't think that I am. I'm not making light of them at all. I feel for them. I really do. But there is an illustration there that shows that anything the world can build, anything that man can put together, the beauty that we can develop, anything that we can create and we call our own and we talk about the worldly wisdom of me, mine, and I, and look what I have done, God can, within the matter of a few moments, separate us from it for eternity. But God, on the other hand, when we are looking at His wisdom, we see for that wisdom and for that light and that eternal life that's given through Christ, we see a motivation that comes from humility and holiness. We need to understand tonight that we can't have true humility without holiness. Humility is not making yourself a stepping stone for someone. Humility is not doing without so someone else can have. Humility is having the holiness of God in our life and lifting up Christ and sacrificing ourselves to glorify God. And in doing so, in having God, no other gods except God, the first two commandments, Jesus said the two greatest commandments, the first is to love God with all your what? Your body, your mind, and your soul. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. Those two things, when properly done according to the Word of God, are holiness and humility. That's godly wisdom. That's the motivation of it. The motivation of godly wisdom is to always have God first in everything that we do, everything we talk about, everything that we are. And in having Him in His proper place, we have our neighbors, those around us in their proper place, in our heart and in our life. I really love the way the Scripture says that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus didn't say love your brother and sister as yourself. Jesus didn't say love your family member as yourself. Jesus didn't say love your church member as yourself. Jesus says love your neighbor as yourself. Those that may be close to you physically but may be far away from you in any other way. That person that you may not agree with, that person that may not like you, that person that you may not like, to love them as yourself. What you would do for you and yours, do for them. Humility, holiness. If we're going to have a humbleness in our life that is godly, it's because we're going to have holiness in our life. That's going to be the motivation for it. But then just as the worldly wisdom has an end, so does godly wisdom. It's peace and righteousness. True peace. I'm not talking about this man-made political peace. I'm talking about the peace that's inside your life. The peace that says, what if they call me tomorrow and tell me my job is over? It's okay, God's got another one. The peace that says, what if I don't get the praise report? What if I get the bad news and not the good news? Peace. Peace and the righteousness that comes along with it. Not because it is about me, but because it's about God. If God needs me to be going through something in my life, if God needs me to be making changes in my life, if God structures my life in such a way that changes move me from here to there or there to here, He'd be peaceful about it. Cling to the righteousness that comes from the salvation that He's given me. And with that righteousness will be a contentment. It'll be a contentment that always has God first. Godly wisdom begins with eternal life. Godly wisdom is motivated by humility and holiness. And godly wisdom will have by its end peace and righteousness. Now, can we agree and understand tonight that the godly wisdom that James is talking about in his word is much, much better than the worldly wisdom that man tries to put together and place before us? Even in the day and the age that we live in, with all of the technology, with all of the bells and whistles that we have created, we're still not going to outgive God. We're not going to outdo God. God is still going to be number one in everything. And as long as we have Him number one in our life, we're going to have access to godly wisdom. And when we have access to godly wisdom and we use it on a daily basis. We allow godly wisdom to drive our experiences. We allow godly wisdom to mature us. Then when we talk about wisdom to someone, it's going to glorify God. It's going to lift Him up. And when we're lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, what does He say will happen? If we lift Him up, He will draw all men to Him. How does that begin? It begins with godly wisdom. That's what my prayer is for each one of you tonight. It's for you to have an experience and really grasp and take hold of godly wisdom in your life so that it can make the kind of impact in your life that's needed so that God, through you, can make an impact in the lives of these in this community and the lives that are under your influence. Because it is that influence and it is that impact that brings people to Christ. It's not programs. It's not big names. It's not fancy jingles. It's not bells and whistles and smoke and it's not names of ministries that have some type of theme to them or anything like that. It's Jesus. It's just simply Jesus. Not only is He lifted up in word, though, but He has to be lifted up in our life. Because when people see Jesus in my life and in your life, people see the difference that He can make. And they want that. People are looking for the reality of something tonight. They're looking for the reality of God. And sadly, too often, they're not finding it in church. They're finding a whole lot of words. They're finding a whole lot of gimmicks. But they're not finding Jesus. Let's apply godly wisdom in our life tonight so that we can show people Jesus.